The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 440 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. Great to have you aboard. New shows every Monday on the Grizz. Show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. We love to see your comments there on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. The World Series kicks off Tuesday in Cleveland. I'm calling it the 48-08 series. Indians haven't won since 1948. Cubs last championship, 1908. So one fan base that suffered a lot over the years will finally get to rejoice when this baby is over. I can't wait. My prediction is on the way. The last unbeaten team went down on Sunday in the NFL. The Eagles knocked off the Vikings in turnover palooza. How ugly was the first quarter of this game? We had more upsets, another game in London, yawn, and even a tie. They gotta change the rule. I mean, no more ties. Please play it out. Who wants to see a stinking tie? And how bad is the kicking in college football and the NFL? I mean, you have to cross your fingers on every attempt. It's terrible. Even extra points aren't a given anymore. Ohio State got upset at Penn State. James Franklin earns his signature win in front of 107,000 in Happy Valley. Alabama rolled over Texas A&M. Michigan and Washington cruised. And wait until you hear the final stats from the Oklahoma-Texas Tech game. Two words, defense optional. A Big 12 beauty. It's all coming up here on episode number 440 of the Sports Report. Thanks so much for tuning in. With you every Monday on the Grizz, that is GrizzlyProductions.tv. And of course, in a podcast section of iTunes, please keep those 5-star reviews coming. Love to see that, and it helps to promote the show. We're going to dive right in because we have a lot to talk about. Game 1 of the World Series almost here. What a matchup we have. Cubs, Indians, a very, very, very long drought will finally end at the conclusion of this series. It's been 68 years for the Indians, 108 for the Cubbies. A lot of people jumped on the Cubs bandwagon Saturday night. It was party town in Wrigleyville when they finished off Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. Let me just say, and you can go back and listen to my big MLB preview show, before the season, before it all started, I picked Chicago to win the World Series. Not just get there, but to win it. Now, that wasn't some bold take, because the Cubs did have the highest over-under win total in Las Vegas, and I think everybody should have known how good they were going to be. The odds makers installed Chicago at minus 175 for the series. That was the opening line. No surprise there. So to explain that to the non-gamblers, you have to bet 175 to win 100 if you're taking the Cubs. And I'm going to stick with Chicago for a few reasons. Number one, I did pick them before the year. I'm not changing now. Number two, their offense woke up in Game 4 of the NLCS. After getting shut out in Games 2 and 3, the Cubs erupted for 10 runs in Game 4, 8 runs in Game 5, and 5 more in Game 6, and that was against Clayton Kershaw, one of the best in the business. They got 2 quick runs in the first inning, another in the second. With these ace pitchers, a lot of times, if you don't get them early, you're not getting them at all. And they were able to jump on Kershaw early in that game. They never looked back. Rizzo homered again. He is back on track, which is huge for that lineup. They really, really needed his power. Baez and Russell had big games in the 8-4 win out in LA in Game 5. Really, with the exceptions of Zobrist and Hayward, and let's be real, Hayward has stunk all season. How much did they pay that guy again? You don't hear much from the sabermetric folks about Hayward, do you? But everybody else is contributing again. Number three, look at the starting pitching. Lester is a flat-out stud. I love him in big games. The young kid Hendricks, who had the lowest ERA in the National League this season, threw 7 1/3 shutout innings on Saturday. He outdueled Kershaw. He only allowed 2 hits. He walked none. Does a great job changing speeds. Plus, they have Arrieta and they have Lackey, who is a bulldog out there. Not bad for your number 4 option. Compare that to Cleveland, who's made it this far without Carlos Carrasco and Danny Salazar. I mean, that is incredible. Terry Francona deserves a ton of credit for just getting here. Salazar had 161 strikeouts in 137 innings this year. Carrasco had an ERA of 3.32. He also has nasty strikeout stuff. Heck, they're throwing Ryan Merritt out there in Toronto, and he's shutting out the Blue Jays? He pitched 11 innings all season. He's only 24 years old. Truly amazing. They swept Boston. We know how good that Boston lineup is. And then they only lost one game to Toronto. Corey Kluber, former Cy Young winner, he'll start game 1. Salazar did throw 3 simulated innings on Sunday. He said he felt really strong, but he hasn't pitched since September 9th. And who knows what Trevor Bauer's pinky is going to do? Will it bleed like a stuck pig again? I mean, that was bizarre. How crazy was that? Memo to you kids out there, leave the drones alone, especially if you're a professional athlete. Overall, I trust Chicago's rotation more. So those are 3 reasons. And then throw in Jason Kipnis, who hits in the heart of that Cleveland order, has 1 hit in his last 6 games. So he's in a bit of a slump right now. I do love how Francona is using Andrew Miller early and often. It's the playoffs. Don't wait around. If you're in a jam, get him out there. If he's your best, throw him on the bump. The guy is sick. A lefty who's been untouchable. They got him from the Yankees. Gave up a lot, but he's paid off. This could be the coming out party for Francisco Lindor. If you haven't seen him play yet, you're going to like this kid. He's only 22, tremendous glove at shortstop, and he can hit. What a future. Ticket prices, as you would expect, are bonkers. The average price on StubHub for games 3, 4, and 5 at Wrigley is over $3,000. Really good seats are even more expensive. Here's my prediction. Cubs in 5. I was thinking maybe Cubs in 6, but the way they're hitting now, question marks surrounding that Cleveland rotation. I give the Indians a lot of credit, but I'm going to go Cubs in 5. What's your prediction? Let me know on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. Who do you like? Cubs, Indians, how many games? I'm on Twitter at the Sports RPT. This is episode 440 of the Sports Report. Thanks again for tuning in. Big NFL and college segments coming up. First, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. They've been with the podcast for a long time. Really appreciate all the folks at iHome. They have a new WeatherTough line of Bluetooth speakers. They are waterproof, rustproof, and even military standard shockproof. These things are tough. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. iHome also offers a full line of headphones and earbuds for the fitness guru, the traveler, or just for hanging out at home and relaxing. So go to iHomeAudio.com, look at all their great products. You can also see their apps and their accessories. I should mention, iHome is the number one brand in digital speakers. They really have it all. The sound quality is the best around. You won't find anything that sounds better. And their products look really, really cool. It's all on the website, iHomeAudio.com. All right, let's get to the NFL. Eagles beat the Vikings 21-10 in Philadelphia. Josh Huff returned a kickoff 98 yards for a touchdown in the second quarter. Eagles never looked back. How about the first quarter? You had five consecutive possessions with turnovers. I mean, what was going on in the city of brotherly love? A little too much brotherly love. They kept giving the football to the other team. Carson Wentz, the rookie, threw a 5-yard TD pass to Doriel Green Beckham in the third quarter. Only offensive touchdown for the Eagles. Wentz, 16-28, only 138 yards, 2 interceptions. He also fumbled the ball a couple times, really did not play well. He's got a lot of praise. If we're keeping it real, he should be ripped for this performance. Did not play well, forced the issue. Sam Bradford back in Philadelphia, sacked 6 times. Eagles front four got all over him. He was 24-41, 224 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. A lot of the yards and the touchdown came late when this baby was over. He was hit close to 20 times. 6 sacks. I think he was hit 18 times. That Vikings offensive line, they're banged up. They are shaky at best. Each team, 4 turnovers in this one. Eagles were outgained 282-239 and still won. Not much offense at all. Phillies 4-2, Minnesota 5-1. And how about this coming up Sunday night? Yo, people have been complaining about the ratings. I guarantee ratings will be sky high Sunday night. Eagles at Dallas. Cowboys are in first place. Eagles only 1 game behind. On the injury front, cornerback Ron Brooks is out for the season. He ruptured his right quad tendon, and Philadelphia was already thin at corner. That is not a position of strength. Maybe they'll move Malcolm Jenkins there, the safety. They're really good at safety. Maybe they move him to corner, but he is out. We go across the state to Pittsburgh. No Big Ben for the Steelers. They had their chances against Tom Brady and the Patriots, but Pittsburgh was pathetic in the red zone. 1 touchdown in 4 trips. You could tell that Coach Tomlin was ticked off about that. They had a missed field goal. They had a touchdown called back due to holding, and you can't do that against New England, period. End of story. They're just too good. Plus, LeGarrette Blount ran for 127 yards and 2 scores on that Steelers defense. He averaged 5.3 a pop. Brady, 19-26, 222, 2 touchdowns, one of them to Gronk, 27-16 Pats. New England 6-1, Pittsburgh 4-3. Sunday night game was a field goal fest. This was as strange as it gets. Seattle at Arizona, defense dominated, and that's an understatement. It was 3-3 after regulation. Let me repeat that. 3-3 after 4 quarters. Each team made a field goal in overtime. Then each team missed a chip shot to win the game. Chandler Catanzaro shanked a 24-yarder off the upright. 24-yard field goal. No good. Then Steven Hauschka, who's really, really good, he pulled a 27-yard attempt, and it wasn't even close. So the game ends 6-6. Ugh. It's the Cardinals' first tie since 1986 when they weren't even in Arizona. They were in St. Louis. And it's the first ever tie for Seattle. Arizona also had a field goal blocked by Bobby Wagner, who kept jumping over the center. As long as you don't make contact, it's not a penalty. The Cardinals, they have to feel sick right now. They outgained the Seahawks 443-257. First downs, 23-11. And Arizona held the football nearly 46.5 minutes to 28.5 for Seattle. Almost a 20-minute advantage in time of possession. And they settle for a tie. And the Cardinals needed this one more than Seattle. Could not get it done at home. Falcons fans also must feel sick. They were up 17 at home to the Chargers, who were 2-4, and they blew it, 33-30. San Diego's Josh Lambeau tied it with a 33-yard field goal with 18 seconds left. He won it with a 42-yarder after Atlanta was stuffed on 4th-and-1 at its own 45-yard line. Now, a lot of people have criticized Dan Quinn. I don't fault him that much for the decision to go for it because his defense was not stopping the Chargers. Now, I do question the running play there because they got stuffed right before that. So the play call, eh. The decision to go for it, though, it's hard to blame him the way his defense had looked. Denzel Perryman had the big hit on Devontae Freeman on 4th-down. He also had a critical interception to set up the tying field goal. Matt Bryant could have won it for Atlanta, but his 58-yard field goal with no time left was no good. Now, at least that's a 58-yarder, not these kicks under 30 that they're missing in the Seattle-Arizona game, but a brutal loss for the Falcons. You just never, ever know in the NFL. Another nail-biter in the Motor City. The Lions always seem to play close games. They led Washington by 10 in the fourth quarter. Redskins finally wake up. They had two 75-yard touchdown drives, the latter capped by Kirk Cousins on a read option? What? 19-yard run. Nobody in the building was expecting that. Cousins gets in. That came with a 1:05 to play. Matthew Stafford, captain comeback. A lot of hype around him right now. He went to work, had a nice run for 14 yards. Then Andre Roberts, no relation, made a great catch for 20, which set up a bullet of an 18-yard TD pass from Stafford to Anquan Boldin, the veteran, still getting it done. 16 seconds left in the clock. 20-17 Lions. Detroit 4-3. Three straight wins. Washington's four-game winning streak is over. They had some killer turnovers, including a Matt Jones fumble into the end zone early on. Giants and Redskins now both 4-3. New York got the action started Sunday morning with a 17-10 victory over LA in London. Case Keenum fired 4 interceptions. He was brilliant last week, 4 picks, including a 44-yard pick 6 by Landon Collins to tie it up in the second quarter. His second interception led to the Giants' game-winning touchdown drive. It was a short field. Rashad Jennings took it home from 1 yard with 9.5 minutes to go. The Rams' final 2 possessions ended with interceptions in the end zone. Oh, geez. Yet, head coach Jeff Fisher says he'll make changes at wide receiver before he makes a change at quarterback. So Jared Goff remains on the bench. It was Ryan Fitzpatrick to the rescue for the Jets. He wasn't benched for long. Geno Smith got hurt in the second quarter. We learned it is a torn ACL, so Smith is done. Fitzpatrick came in, led New York on 3 scoring drives. He was 9-14, 120 yards, and a touchdown. Joe Flacco, who rarely throws picks, tossed 2 of them on back-to-back drives. You know, the NFL is about turnovers. Turnovers and third down rate, what you do in the red zone, those 3 things, critical. Matt Forte had a couple touchdowns and 100 rushing yards. He fumbled, however, near the goal line late in the third quarter, but the Jets got it back. Crazy play. And then Forte ran it in from a yard out to put him up 24-16. That was that. Baltimore has dropped 4 in a row. Cincinnati also 3-4. The Bengals beat the winless Browns 31-17. AJ Green stole the show. How good is this guy? a one-handed catch on a Hail Mary to end the first half. That 48-yard grab put Cincinnati up 21-10. If you haven't seen it, take a look. Kevin Hogan, remember him at a Stanford undrafted QB. He is quarterback number 6, if you're scoring at home, for the Cleveland Browns. He came in for Cody Kessler, who was injured again. And Hogan did some nice things running the football. He ran for 104 yards and a touchdown. Made it interesting, but not enough. 31-17 Bengals. Just when Bills fans were getting pumped up, the Bills go to Miami and lose 28-25 after leading this game by 11 in the third quarter. Jay Ajayi was added again. He ran for 200 plus yards for the second game in a row. The only other players to do that are O.J. Simpson, Earl Campbell, and Ricky Williams. How about that trio right there? Miami scored 22 consecutive points, including a 66-yard TD pass to Kenny Stills when two Bills defenders ran into each other. On top of that, Shady McCoy left in the third quarter. He aggravated his left hamstring. 8 carries, only 11 yards. You wonder if he should have even played in this game. Bills safety Aaron Williams missed the second half after a blatant cheap shot by Jarvis Landry. Williams missed most of last year when he underwent neck surgery, so you hate to see him go down. Just a terrible, dirty block by Landry. I mean, that one was straight out of the Vontaze Burfict playbook. No need for that at all. The Buccaneers got a much-needed win at San Francisco. Tampa Bay's back at 500 at 3-3. They trailed 14-0 after a quarter and then took control. Jameis Winston threw 3 touchdown passes, 2 of them to Big Mike Evans. Jacquizz Rodgers ran for 154 yards. Colin Kaepernick struggled 16 of 34, so he's under 50%. Told you before, he's got the arm strength. He is just not accurate. He throws everything like it's a missile. No touch. Only 143 yards passing for Kaepernick. He turned it over twice. 6 straight losses for Chip Kelly and the Niners. Chiefs held off the Saints 27-21 despite giving up 463 yards. The difference, KC was plus 2 in turnover margin, including a pick 6, and New Orleans had 10 penalties. Kansas City's won 9 straight at home. You know my thoughts on Jacksonville. I've been done with them for weeks. They were the trendy McTrenderson pick before the season. All the national media bobbleheads were all over Jacksonville. Well, here they are at 2-4. And Malik Jackson and Jalen Ramsey both got ejected from this game. 24 combined penalties. Ugh. Oakland comes east and wins 33-16, not even close. Raiders are 4-0 on the road, and they're 5-2 for the first time in 15 years. Man, oh man. Finally, the Colts did what they always do to the Titans, beat them. They've won 10 straight versus Tennessee. Andrew Luck tossed a go-ahead 7-yard touchdown pass to Jack Doyle with 2 minutes left. I just picked up Jack Doyle on my fantasy football team, so he gets me a touchdown there. Not a bad pickup. And then Robert Mathis took a fumble by Marcus Mariota, 14 yards to pay dirt. So the Titans went from up 3 with 6 minutes to go to down 11 with 1:45 left. Indy won it 34-26, both teams 3-4. What a boring, bad division. Oh man, got the Colts, Titans, Texans are in first place there, and then the Jags, who have been a huge disappointment. Man, oh man. Your thoughts on Week 7 in the National Football League are welcome on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. And don't forget those World Series predictions. Cubs, Indians, who do you got? How many games? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. This is episode number 440 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts. Told you, coming at you fast and furious on this Monday. A lot to get to here on The Sports Report. We're in the podcast section of iTunes and on Twitter at The Sports RPT. 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. College football now. I live about 2 hours from Penn State. And there are a lot of Nittany Lions fans in Southeast Pennsylvania, as you can imagine. I'll be honest, though, I did not hear anybody talking about Penn State upsetting at number 2 Ohio State. Most fans were hoping that it would just be a close game, and I don't blame them. James Franklin had not beaten a ranked team since coming to State College. Penn State had not beaten a top 5 team since 1999 when they took down Arizona. We're talking 17 years since the Nittany Lions defeated a top 5 team. And the 107,000 in attendance for the whiteout Saturday night weren't making much noise when it was 21-7 Buckeyes in the fourth quarter. Remember, Ohio State had won 20 consecutive road games. Urban Meyer's squad was a 17.5 point favorite, averaging almost 49 points per game coming in. Then everything changed with a handful of plays. Saquon Barkley, the electric running back for Penn State, ran for 37 yards. Trace McSorley hit Saeed Blacknall for 35 down the sideline. Two plays later, McSorley runs it in from 2 yards out. That was a 90-yard drive in the blink of an eye. It only took a minute 20 seconds. Now it's 21-14, and the crowd at Beaver Stadium back in the game. McSorley, by the way, 8 of 23, and they still won this thing. So, special teams took over. Cam Brown blocked an Ohio State punt. That led to a field goal. Nittany Lions within 4, 21-17. Then the play that people are still buzzing about around here. Urban Meyer opts for a 45-yard field goal instead of punting it. He's up 4, could have pinned Penn State deep, make him drive the length of the field. He goes for the field goal, and Marcus Allen blocks the kick. Grant Haley scoops it up, and he's going coast to coast for the lead. 60 yards with 4.5 minutes to go, from down 2 touchdowns to in front. Fans were in shock. Penn State had not led all night until that play. I know Coach Meyer was questioned about not punting there. He said his kicker makes 45-plus yard field goals all the time in practice, and a field goal makes it a 7-point lead. So now a touchdown only ties it up. I did not have an issue with his decision. He knows his kicker. They just didn't block it properly. And credit to Allen for really getting up in the air to block that kick. Penn State outscored Ohio State 17-0 in the fourth quarter. 24-21 was the final. By the way, buddy of mine has season tickets. He offered me a ticket. I could have been there. I saw the weather forecast. It was cold. It was windy. It was raining. I said, nah, I'm not going to go. Plus, I'm thinking, no way Penn State's going to win this game. 17, 18-point underdog, and they win it. Story of my life. Could have been there for one of the biggest wins in Penn State history. I decide not to go. Speaking of history, Penn State gets its first win over a top 2 team since 1990 when they beat number 1 Notre Dame. Also, the first victory for Penn State at Beaver Stadium against a team ranked this high since 1982 when they defeated number 2 Nebraska. It has been a very, very challenging time at Penn State since the Jerry Sandusky scandal. James Franklin has been under fire, back-to-back 7-6 seasons. That doesn't go over well here. Then losing at Pittsburgh last month, getting destroyed at Michigan 49-10. This is, without question, one of the biggest wins in Penn State history. As for the Buckeyes, and this is important, they are not out of this yet, because they get Michigan in Columbus in a month. Michigan beat Illinois 41-8 over the weekend. It was 31-0 at halftime there. They could win that game, talking about Ohio State, and then they get to the Big Ten championship game where they would be favored versus whoever comes out of the West. Nebraska is unbeaten right now, but heck, Nebraska was trailing Purdue in the third quarter this weekend, and Purdue is awful. Nebraska wound up winning that game 27-14. My point is, Ohio State isn't dead just yet at 6-1. Sticking in the Big Ten, and number 10, Wisconsin bounced back from its overtime loss at home to the Buckeyes with a 17-9 win at Iowa. You kind of saw a low-scoring defensive struggle coming with these two. Badgers are rock solid on defense. They outgained Iowa 423-236. Wisconsin held the football for 37 minutes. They were the better team. Let's get to the big one in the SEC. Number one, Alabama at home against number six, Texas A&M. I thought the Tide let the Aggies hang around early by settling for field goals and missing a field goal. And next thing you know, A&M is up 14-13 early in the third quarter after Trevor Knight threw a gorgeous 25-yard TD pass in the corner of the end zone to Christian Kirk. Picture-perfect pass there by Trevor Knight. But Alabama is the best team in the nation for a reason. And once again, they showed why the Vegas odds makers are putting out such big lines for their games. A 77-yard TD drive put the Tide in front. Then the defense came through again. They've been doing this all season. Big Jonathan Allen rumbled 30 yards after an A&M fumble. His touchdown made it 26-14. Thanks for coming. Drive home safely. Jalen Hurts tacked on a sweet 37-yard touchdown run early in the fourth quarter. He had two really nice cutbacks on that run. 33-14 tied. It wasn't Alabama's best day in a long shot, and they still beat a top 10 squad by 19 points. Think about that. Let that settle in a little bit. Why anyone would pick against Nick Saban's troops is beyond me. There's NFL talent all over that roster. Speaking of NFL talent, Leonard Fournette returned for the first time in a month after an ankle injury. He looked just fine. He steamrolled his way to a school record 284 rushing yards, and it only took him 16 carries. The math, that's 17.8 yards per carry against an Ole Miss team that was ranked 23rd in the nation. Rebels dropped to 3-4 after a 38-21 beatdown at Baton Rouge. I thought this would be closer. Fournette had touchdown runs, listen to this, 59, 76, and 78 yards. Tigers outscored Ole Miss 17-0 in the second half. LSU now 5-2, finally scoring some points. If you like big offensive numbers, let's go to Lubbock, Texas. This Texas Tech-Oklahoma matchup was nuts. Pat Mahomes set an NCAA record, 819 total yards, and guess what? His team lost. He passed for a record-tying 734 yards, 734 through the air. He attempted 88 passes. I'm not kidding around. But Mahomes' Red Raiders fell to the Sooners 66-59. You can't make it up. Baker Mayfield set a school record, 7 touchdown passes. These teams combined for an NCAA record, 1,708 yards. And get this, each team had exactly 854 total yards. I am tired just talking about this game. That's my workout for the day. Big 12 is arena football. Fun to throw out these crazy stats. I am not a fan of this brand of football. I think there's a happy medium between this type of game and the Wisconsin-Iowa snooze fest that we saw that ended up 17-9. NC State gave Clemson all it could handle and then some last week. Saturday, The Wolfpack paid a visit to Louisville, and, well, they left with their tails between their legs. 54-13 Cardinals. Sophomore quarterback Lamar Jackson put on another show. He's up to 34 touchdowns in 7 games. I mean, almost 5 touchdowns every game for this kid. He passed for 355 and 3 scores. Jackson ran for 76 and another touchdown. It was 44-0 at the half. The Ville, 6-1. Washington stayed perfect with a 41-17 win over Oregon State. Jake Browning, another super soft at quarterback, passed for 291 and 3 scores. He also ran for a touchdown. He's got 26 touchdown passes, only 2 interceptions this year. SMU stunned number 11 Houston 38-16. This wasn't even close. SMU came out in at 2-4. It's the Mustangs' first win over a ranked team in 5 years. So after a 5-0 start, the Cougars are 6-2. Nobody's talking about Houston anymore. West Virginia has flown under the radar. Now more people are noticing the 6-0 Mountaineers. They took down TCU 34-10 in Morgantown. West Virginia's defense has really stepped up this year. This is the school's best start since 2006. Skylar Howard threw 4 touchdown passes against TCU. A lot of people question Howard coming in. He looks good. And how about what Auburn did to Arkansas? 56-3. Good grief. Arkansas was number 17 in the country. Lost by 53. The Tigers ran for 543 yards. That is 9.5 yards a carry. Total yards, 632-215. Auburn's won 4 in a row. And finally, how about Utah running back Joe Williams? He ran for a school record 332 yards and 4 touchdowns in a 52-45 shootout win over UCLA. Williams, this is an unbelievable story. The guy quit playing football last month. He stopped playing, basically retired. And then Utah has a bunch of injuries at running back, so he comes back on the team last week, and now he's setting school records. He's running for 332 yards. Unbelievable. Keep your eye on this game on Saturday. Utah at 7-1 against Washington. That is a big, big contest in the Pac-12. Let me know your thoughts on college football. How about those Nittany Lions? They're ranked in the AP Top 25 for the first time in 5 years. Ohio State goes down, but I'm telling you, Buckeyes aren't done yet. They do get Michigan in Ohio. Let me know what you're thinking about college football, the NFL, and the World Series. Love to see your predictions, Cubs, Indians. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Check it all the time. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. Great way for you to get involved and participate in the show. With you every Monday. Have a great week, everyone. This has been episode number 440 of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.